Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Well, it's been a hot, hot minute.
Hot, extra
as my
hot.
American friend would say.
an extra hot, sun hot minute. It's been an hour, I would almost say.
Yeah, a hot hour. So, thank you first off for bearing with us while we've had a slight hiatus. It's not really a hiatus at this point, it's more like a sabbatical. But life has happened. But we've been talking recently, both sort of missing recording this, so we came up with a slight change of plan. So just to go through, you may have already noticed that this is not an hour and 45 minutes long. And that's because Gareth is not going to talk as much as maybe Gareth wants to talk during this episode. We're going to cut this down to a half-hour show. But Matt, before you panic, don't worry. We're still going to talk about what we've been playing. We're still going to have some news. Most importantly, Gareth is still going to suck at trivia. And I'm there wondering why I'm talking in the third person. And we're still going to, obviously, have our Game of the Week. We're just going to condense some of this down. Some of you might be glad to hear that. Others of you might... No, everyone will be glad to hear.
Yeah.
So it just means it's going to fit our week a little bit better. I'm looking forward to getting back into it, Matt.
Yeah, like you said, we've been talking about this. We've been looking forward to getting back into it. And though the longer episodes has more, we have more to say on more stuff, doesn't necessarily mean that it's gone. There might be times that we have extra time where we can make longer episodes, but these shorter episodes are going to be able to guarantee that more episodes will come out more frequently. It's easier to find the half an hour, 45 minutes to an hour of time in our days to get an episode out. Not just because of life, because we're busy, but also because the time difference is such a hassle between us that the shorter time frame is going to be allowing us to hopefully get more episodes out to you guys. And like I said, the longer episodes aren't null and void. If we have the day, the time, the episodes might be extended out a little bit longer. But we're excited just to get this stuff back out to you guys, the listeners who... I think, Gareth, you were talking about before we even started this that we still have people listening to us on the older episodes, which is absolutely astounding, honestly.
Yeah, it blows us away, and we are really, really grateful for that. And, you know, we appreciate everybody. We say it at the end of every single episode, and it is true. We really appreciate everybody that's sort of joined us along for this, and it's just been so, so fun. And on that note of the time difference... just to let you know, we will be setting up a GoFundMe to move Matt over to the UK. It's only a mere £4 million. Not all of that will go to Matt. Some of that will go to admin fees because I want a new house. So.
Yeah. I was about to say, you
are the
admin.
We've got to buy two houses next to each other. Only kidding. Anyway... Look, we've said that we're going to be short on time, so let's be short on time. Right, let's kick it off. Matt, I mean, we've both been playing the same game, but you've got a little bit more you want to add. Why don't you go ahead and start us off with what you've been playing?
All right, so we're trying to trim this down, so we're only going to talk about fewer games. I had to add in this one game that is apart from what we have put down in the show notes is Hades. Hades came on Game Pass, it blew up on Switch, and I had to try it. So, if you haven't tried Hades, it's a roguelike. You go through multiple levels, and you die, you start all over, and you continually progress and stronger until you beat the game. Or if you're really good, you beat it in the first go, and then you unlock a harder difficulty, special modifications... what really sets it apart, besides the art style, is I think the controls. It's absolutely smooth. It just feels good to play. It's flawless in that aspect of the controls. The whole story is actually mesmerizing. The graphics are great. The weapons are great. The enemies are fun to fight against. And it's honestly, it's just really buttery and smooth to play. And I think that's what's having me come back to it. I won't spend too much time on it because I just completed my first escape through it a few days ago. So I'm just now starting to put modifications into it and to get more rewards and to upgrade my guy even more. But if you haven't played it yet, it's on Game Pass, hashtag still not sponsored, but it's on Game Pass, give it a try. The main game that Gareth and I are going to be talking about is Splitgate. It has become a phenomenon. It broke out ever since that it came out onto the beta for consoles. For people that don't know, it has been out for, I think, about a year or so. It's been out for the PC. It did have a little bit of success there, but it wasn't a breakout hit yet. And in its defense, it was in beta, so it wasn't, you know, to the fullest full release that we have now. But I think it just fits perfectly into this time of gaming because the type of game that it is an arena shooter. A lot of people compare it to Halo, and I can see the similarities between that with the weapons, the maps, but I would compare it almost more to Quake and Unreal Tournament mixed with Portal. And it's an arena shooter, a genre of shooting game that is frankly, I would say, not even existing right now. The last game I can really think of that really took a stab at it was Doom 2016. It had a multiplayer that was kind of a mixture of the arena shooter and modern FPS. And I really enjoyed it, but it didn't take off. I think it's when it first came out in beta, it was a little flawed because everyone was so popular with it. But the shooting, it feels good. The portal mechanics work really well. It's really fresh. It plays like Halo, plays like Unreal Tournament, it plays like Portal. There's some big brain moves you can do with the portals. It's exciting when you pull that off. The guns all feel good to shoot. It gets you right into the next game after you complete it. There's tons of modes. It's being fully supported by the developers. It's adding more, and it has full crossplay. It's really the whole package, and I hope that it brings back the games of the arena shooters, of the Unreal Tournament, the Quakes, the old Dooms. It's just a breath of fresh air in the gaming sphere of first-person shooters, honestly. I talked a lot about it now, but we're going to say a little bit later on it. But I already kind of spoiled it for you, Gareth, and I'm sorry, but what are your thoughts on Splitgate?
I'm good at it, so therefore I like it. That's pretty much...
That's rare.
No, it's not made by Rare. I enjoy it. There's a couple of reasons why I like it. It's free.
Yeah.
And also, what I quite like is you can jump in, play around, play two rounds, play three rounds, and it's so easy to get out. You're not stuck into... So when I think back when I was deep in Rainbow Six Siege, and I mean deep in Rainbow Six Siege, oh man, some of those rounds would go on for, well, games, sorry, matches. It's like tennis, I don't know all the different terms. It's like matches would go on for an age because, you know, particularly when you got into ranked and you know, you're on like 15, 16 rounds and it's like, this is ridiculous. I might just start dying deliberately as opposed to being killed. So in some ways, it's a real breath of fresh air in that. And it's not, it sometimes can be quite a messy game, but it's quite a pretty game. It's not, you know, it's not too detailed, but it's almost, in its simplicity, looks good. The gunplay feels good, if sometimes a little clunky. I did adjust the sensitivity, and that was terrible, because all of a sudden I just was looking in the air, and I don't know why. So, yeah, the gunplay feels good. It's quick, keeps you engaged. So, yeah, I enjoy it. You know, yeah, like Matt said, not that I feel we'll be able to add any more particularly, otherwise just going over the sort of points that we've already mentioned. You know, maps, there could be a little bit more. Feel like I've played every map, but every map, every time I play the same map, it feels different. I'm not doing the same things on that map because I'm not skilled enough to. have my own plays that I try again and again and again. Instead, I run around terrified, trying to kill as many people as I can, which sometimes I do. But anyway, that's Splitgate. I have been playing other games, but I'm going to do what I said we would do, which was just talk about one game.
Isn't it so hard?
Anyway. yeah, it is hard. It is hard. I've been playing a mobile game called Astro Kings, and oh baby, that's got its hooks in me. to the news, and in a shocking change of play, we're actually going to talk about PlayStation Story to kick us off.
There goes our sponsorship.
A couple of PlayStation. Yeah, because the Game Pass things never happen, we're going to go to PlayStation now. What's that? Exactly. So, we're going to start off with a couple of PlayStation stories all mixed into one, because they're all sort of related in some way. So, this week there's been a leak, which has actually been confirmed as a true leak from NVIDIA for the PC, regarding a list of PlayStation games coming to PC, which isn't a surprise. PlayStation have started doing this recently, moving some games over to PC as well, thinking of walking simulators like Death Stranding. And, you know, big games like that moving over to PC are quite big, because it's not happened before really from PlayStation. This list, however, was quite interesting in that games such as God of War were on there. The thing that makes this leak a little bit speculative was the Facebook rumored Grand Theft Auto Remastered trilogy was coming. So that's Vice City, Liberty City, oh no, 3, Liberty City, Vice City and San Andreas, I believe, where the promo shot looked awful. There's that, Demon Souls, Returnal, which was the one that made me think this wasn't quite true. NVIDIA have had their say, Matt. They've said that this is a list, the leak is legit, but that the list is kind of, it's like place markers or something. They use a term like that to describe what it was going to be like. Placeholder, that's it. Kingdom Hearts 4 was mentioned on there as well. We don't need that. We've got games coming over from PlayStation to PC, Matt. Horizon Zero Dawn, Death Stranding, like I said, Days Gone. I mean, what do you think kind of play this is for PlayStation? What's your thoughts on it all? I mean, what does it mean for them?
So I have kind of seen that the Sony fans have been more reluctant to let their exclusives go to PC, that they get more upset when they go to PC. But in their defense, it's only been a recent move for Sony to start releasing their exclusives to PC. So it's like growing pains. I think it's a smart move. Xbox has dipped their toes in it and have actually been progressively releasing more and more to either Steam or at least the Microsoft Store. And it's a smart move. Why not? You're opening up to a larger fan base. You're opening up to more customers, more players that might extend out the longevity of the game. Unlike Microsoft, Sony does not have their own PC store like Microsoft does, because even before they released their games onto Steam, they had the Play Anywhere initiative, where if you bought a game digitally, you have it on Xbox and Microsoft Windows. And so they were already extending into the PC market that way. Sony doesn't have that. Now, like I said, Microsoft has slowly been working into Steam, Sea of Thieves. They released Halo Master Chief Collection, which was huge, onto Steam as well. So I think it's just a natural progression to start releasing games onto their... Sony will have the... If they wanted to, they can have timed exclusives and then release it onto PC. But at this point, I don't think it's hurting anyone to release it on a PC. PC seems to be that middle ground of like a half-sibling, step-sibling, that people are like, oh, well, you can have our game, it doesn't really matter. But if Microsoft gets it, all hell will break loose. But as long as PC gets it, everyone could kind of accept it. I mean, Sony has already been inching into it. You already mentioned a few games. Horizon Zero Dawn, which was a huge exclusive, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, Days Gone, Death Stranding, Detroit Become Human, and Journey are just a few of the exclusives that have already been released onto PC. A lot of those are single-player games. I don't see the point on trying to hold the exclusives to only Sony after Sony's already played it. I think it's a smart move financially for them, because one of the reasons why Sony did so well on the last generation, besides Microsoft dropping the ball right off the gate of releasing that Xbox One, was I love Xbox, I love Microsoft, but I have to admit Sony kills it with their exclusives. Microsoft has only been stepping up their exclusive game recently after acquiring half of the studios that exist, but Sony kills it with their exclusives. All their exclusives blow majority of Microsoft's exclusives out of the water. And if Sony's already played them, people who have played them and bought them have already done so, it makes financial and common sense to release it onto the middle ground of PC for people to play and enjoy the story. I mean, some of those games, Horizon Zero Dawn, and even God of War, some players have not experienced those great games and will be able to for the first time on PC. It's just, I think it's a natural progression. It's growing pain of being able to share your favorite exclusives, and honestly, I think it's a great thing for more players to experience some of these great exclusives that Sony has been able to produce. Because, like I said, I'm for Xbox, but I mean, I have to admit, Sony has amazing exclusives that I still want to experience myself. And if more players can experience it, hats off to them. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to an episode that we previously recorded where I said that I think the company that's going to win this generation is going to be the company that does the most for the players, for the consumers, and the most consumer friendly. Obviously, the delivery system that Xbox has, where, like you've mentioned, buy it here, it's useful everywhere. You know, they did a little bit of a dig at PlayStation when PlayStation sort of said you buy it, and then if you want to upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version, it's a $10 upgrade, I think it was. And then Xbox did the tweet where they had a guy who said Xbox One on it, and then another guy being handed something, and that guy was called Xbox XS, and then it just said, there you go. And it's like, okay, I get it, but, you know, this is a positive play for PlayStation. This is, you know, going along a similar track to how Xbox is doing it, you know, play it wherever. I think it's interesting you mentioned multiplayer games. It's one of the reasons why PlayStation were so against crossplay. They wanted to, and they did this idea of the PlayStation ecosystem is safer, they can control it, people will feel better about being within the PlayStation ecosystem. I think that's a money-grabbing excuse, personally, but I don't know. I think PlayStation could either do really well with this or mess this up. So I think it'd be great to see them on PlayStation, like you say. I mean, see a God of War, like Returnal, if that did go on onto PC. To see a high-end PC playing Returnal, I think would look unbelievable, just because of everything that goes on the screen. Just to quickly point out as well with PlayStation, they've made some modifications to the PlayStation 5, making the new models going into production will have a smaller heatsink, which will keep the console cooler. They've also recently this week put out a video explaining how you can expand the memory on the PlayStation. Please do not just go off that by us. Please watch the actual Sony video that goes with it, because apparently if you put the wrong SSD in, you can, yeah, really mess your PlayStation up. So we don't want to be the ones to do that, considering you're probably one of only four people that has a PlayStation 5. But anyway, on as we are trying to do in some way, we want to continue our conversation following the Apple and Epic Game Store. Saga at this point, that has culminated in the meaning of the word button. Now, some of you may know I like to throw over to Matt in these funny situations where I'm slightly more perplexed with what to say. But Matt, just start us off. What does the word button mean for you?
Something that you can press or click. Yeah.
Interesting. So those of you that have been following, Apple has been getting into a few arguments with a couple of publishers on the App Store. The most famous big one, obviously, being Epic Game Store, who took Fortnite off of App Store because they were not allowing in-app purchases because it took you to a third-party big Epic website instead of paying through the App Store, where Apple obviously take a cut of that. This has culminated in a verdict this week, which went against Apple, meaning that Fortnite, it looks like within a week, I think it was, will be back on the App Store, meaning that Apple could not stop Epic taking people to a third-party website to pay for things. The only thing that Apple has queried is the word button, clicking on a button to take them to this place. To use the word, as a result, the court has ordered Apple to remove its rule preventing developers from including buttons, external links, or other calls to action that direct customers to purchasing mechanisms in their app. So effectively meaning that Apple is not allowed to restrict buttons. Hence, now Apple is challenging the term button. Well, Apple and Epic, I think they're both talking about what the word button means. Matt, what's your 10 pence on this?
So I have quite a bit, actually. So when this broke, I kind of tried to read into it because I don't remember which episode we really covered it. We've covered this before when it first started going. A lot of places are stating that Epic came out on top. While both sides won, I would be hard-pressed to say that Epic won. So the main outcome that came from the Epic's winning side is that people are allowed to put forth external links for people to buy, you know, the microtransactions or whatever out of Apple's ecosystem. So Apple can't get a cut of whatever they buy outside of their ecosystem. So that was the main concern, and that was what Epic did to start this whole thing. I would argue that though that is a win for the Epic side, I would say that's a win for all the other developers within the Apple's ecosystem, and not so much Epic, because Epic has a lot more going against it that was actually ruled in favor of Apple. I say this because now all the other developers on in the iOS store can put buttons, links, whatever they want to call it, go into a third party to offer cheaper deals for their coins, special, whatever, and they get 100% of the profit rather than Apple. And while that will cut into Apple's profits, some of the stuff that ruled in favor of Apple is, one, Epic has to pay back. So Epic has to pay back the money that was owed to Apple during the time limit that Epic put in that quote-unquote button to buy the Fortnite special currency or whatever it is during that length of time before they were kicked off. So they have to pay that back to Apple because that is rightfully theirs because they broke the policy for it. Now, the court ruled in Apple's favor is that Epic can have Fortnite back onto the Apple Store, but it is at the discretion of Apple. So they are currently still not on the iOS Store, and if Apple deems it necessary, they don't have to allow Epic or Fortnite back onto the iOS Store. And I kind of want to put this into perspective is that Fortnite is a juggernaut for Epic. In 2018, Fortnite made over $9 billion. 2018, Fortnite made over $9 billion. 2019 made $5.5 billion. In 2018, made $3.7 billion in 2019. So Fortnite is a juggernaut, and taking out the iOS store, which arguably has a lot of players to it because it's everyone has a phone. Well, most people have smartphones that can download Fortnite, and Fortnite is a cross-play game, so that is a huge money sink for Epic. Apple doesn't, they're not automatically reinstituted into the iOS store because Epic purposely broke the policy at the time of Apple. The policy was you can't make any buttons or links for outside purchases. They did it anyways, and it was only after Apple took them off the store is that they used that as the catalyst to start this whole lawsuit. And the judge ruled in favor of Apple that even though it was a wrong policy, they should have taken it to court rather than break the policy and then initiate this whole thing. So they're not automatically reinstituted back to the store, and Apple's discretion to bring them back into the store is totally up to them. So if Apple doesn't bring them back, they are losing a huge amount of money. Now, coming from a consumer, I am kind of happy that both sides kind of lost, because while Epic tries to play the good guy card, Apple tries to play the good guy card because they want the best ecosystem. Let's just be honest. They are both fighting to make the most money out of you and I. And that is a fact. Epic wants to take people outside of the ecosystem so they can make more money. Apple wants you to stay in their ecosystem so they can get a cut of their own money from us. So while other developers have benefited from Epic's side, and Apple still kind of has a control on their ecosystem and doesn't have to allow Epic back, they both kind of lost, which means that we kind of won, and they're both greedy because they both just want bigger cuts of our money. I kind of went long-winded, but there's a lot to this. While it does benefit other developers, Epic took a hit, Apple kind of took a hit, and it doesn't matter because Epic's appealing the decision anyway, so it's going to go to the appellate court anyways. And we're going to see where it goes from there, if it goes to the Supreme Court. And I think another big decision was that Epic failed to make it known that Apple was a monopoly, and that's kind of what they were going for. And the judge kind of said they kind of overshot and was not able to come to that decision. So I'm just going to leave it on this. Both sides lost, we won, and they both want our money because they're both greedy. Period.
Honestly, for a moment there, it was like we were back in an episode of Ally McBeal. just lawyer talk.
I know, I'm sorry. I read and watched so much stuff because I thought it was so interesting, but that's to me, though.
If you want to listen to Matt's new up-and-coming legal podcast called Matt in the Court. Anyway, we don't do sponsorships like that. So that's the end of the news. Moving on, game of the week, as you can imagine, is Splitgate. Splitgate is our game of the week, not Hades. I wanted to get in there first before
I got in there.
Not tried it.
No.
Yeah.
I'm 100% agreeing. Splitgate is the way to go. I'm a huge fan of Halo, huge fan of Unreal, Quake. I'm a huge fan of Portal. It's just a solid made game. There are some shortcomings, like you said, that there is a there's less amount of maps. But I think it's important to know that this was like an indie developer that only had 3 or 4 developers, and now they've got grants and they've got investors, and they're going to be making it a whole lot bigger. And I think it can go bigger because, like I said, it's a solid game. One of the big things, it's free. If anyone's listening to this and have not tried it, like Gareth said, free to play. That was the main thing that I got you into it, actually. I was like, it's free to play, just download it, install it, and let's try it. It's a solid main game. The gunplay is fun, the portals are fun. The maps that are there are fun. It's just an overall fun, consumer-friendly, breath of fresh air game, and I think everyone should give it a try just because the market's so saturated with Call of Duties and stuff like that, that this genre of first-person shooters is not as prevalent, and I think it needs to come back a little bit because I enjoy it.
No, absolutely. And on the point of free-to-play, microtransactions are not in your face. No. They are not in your face. The game is very generous with what it gives you. I'm running a totally not, you know, original character. I've got different parts. Yes, it's a bit of this and a bit of that, but yeah, you can personalize it pretty quickly, and it's quite a yeah, it's a rewarding game, and yeah, it's really good with people. Definitely, I think I enjoyed the games a lot more when I was playing with you, Matt, as opposed to solo queuing. But you can solo queue it quite easily. In fact, I played better when I was solo queuing. I, in fact, started streaming again just to prove that I actually was pretty good when I was solo queuing. But anyway, so yeah, game of the week, Splitgate. Play it. Let us know what you think of that. And that would be good. It's time for trivia. So
this is a little different, right? A little different.
Yeah, we were talking about how we could do trivia. What could trivia be? One-hit wonders? No, that can't happen this week. So instead, what we're going to do is quick-fire questions. So there's going to be one overarching question. Matt, you're going to have to answer then each question behind. So the question is, name the original developer of each of these games. Okay.
And there's no multiple choice. I just have to.
Nope.
What?
Nope. And like, let's be honest, let's give it like 5 seconds to answer. Okay. I think apart from one, maybe two. No, I think you'll get it. Apart from one, yeah.
But the quick fire, like you, we talked about, you're basically taking my whole thought process away when I talked out loud and was actually able to figure out the answer talking out loud. You're taking that whole process away, so yeah. Now I'm just going to have to shoot it.
Basically, we are removing Matt's ability to Google the answer. Because we all know that's what he was doing.
Don't shortchange me like that.
I know, yeah. Yeah. And I'm for those, obviously, it's recording. I'm totally on form. I've got a Pokemon notepad. It's got all the. Oh, I can't show you, actually. I was about to show you the answers. Right, okay. So, original developers, please. Eyes down, lights down. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1.
Neversoft.
Correct. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Any new word?
Correct. Pokemon.
Game Freak.
Correct. Fallout 1.
Oh. Yeah, quick fire. I don't know. Pass. Fail. Pass that one.
Okay. Finally, Battletoads.
The original. Rare.
Correct. The original Fallout was actually Black Isle Studios.
Is that one? Because Bethesda or whoever didn't come in until the second one.
Sort of.
Second one or third
was it not Interplay that was it not Interplay that developed the second one and Bethesda published it? Then the third one was the first game that
Bethesda
published and developed, and that's when In Exile was set up, which was a mix of Black Isle Studio developers and Interplay. I think.
Yeah, I think
I might be wrong.
You might be right.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. If that was a question, you probably would have got that one right.
I'm always right. So, actually, a surprisingly good start for you there, Matt, to the quickfire round.
And I didn't have time to Google it.
For those of you listening, he did the air quotation marks. He definitely Googles some of the answers. So that's the end of the show. I know it's come around quicker, but not as quick as we maybe thought it might be. So yes, thank you very much for listening. I've enjoyed it. Coming back to doing this, Matt, as people have already been doing, and even though we haven't been producing anything, where can the good people who listen to us get in touch with us and engage with us?
So the same as always, even though we haven't been producing anything and we're going to try with this new shorter version, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we have an email, we have a Discord, any of those places, you can get in contact with us. If you have stories you want us to cover, games you want to for us to try, to review, to look into, or questions for this new rapid fire, or just the regular questions, go ahead and shoot those to us. We love to interact with people. We also, well, I don't stream as much. Gareth has slowly got back into streaming. But yeah, any of those social media aspects, and one of the huge things is reviews. Now, while we are doing these shorter episodes, like I said, to try to get more episodes out to you guys, like I said, we're not ruling out the longer episodes if we have the time for it. Leave a review. Let us know what you think of these shorter episodes. If everyone just absolutely appalls it and hates it, do what we can to appease the listeners. But just let us know what you think of it. If this is something that you enjoy in between the times that we can get a little bit longer episodes out, just good or bad critiques, let us know. Leave reviews. And that helps us get to more listeners that can engage with us about video games. Because honestly, we talked about getting back onto this, not only for you listeners, but just for us to be able to talk with each other, because we miss talking about video games.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So I've enjoyed it. It's been, it's been nice to get back into this. Well, until next time, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.